the quick recap of where we are. We are giving everybody here in this lovely house a reality check. We are talking about idols, and we are talking about how the reality of these idols, not under a, like, oh, well, it's just idol worship and it gets kind of covered under. We're breaking them down because what we revealed is that there is a wicked man and a wicked scheme that he has been unfolding, ensnaring us to worship these specific idols. And I brought out all of these individual idols that are integrated into the system of the world to continue to pull believers into the world systems. Okay? And when I said you picked a good time to come back, because today we're talking about three little letters. No. Nobody? Nobody wants to give it a guy? Nobody wants to say the word? Fine, I'll say it. Sex. Jeez. Because it's so taboo, you can't talk about it in the church anymore, right? Right? So taboo. We can't talk about this in church. How dare I? How dare I? What's wrong with me? Yeah, that's the point. That's exactly the point. The problem we have today is that we can't talk about this subject from this position. It's taboo. It's not taboo. The battle against idolatry in each area to this point has been putting down or standing against an idol or its scheme. This particular one is different. Because what we're going to be discussing today is not actually a stance of taking against sex, because, well, that would be wrong. Because why? Because God invented it, right? We're not here to stand against sex, right? What we are dealing with is that what has happened, or what the enemy has done, okay, in this wicked scheme that he's unraveled, is he's twisted this God-created idea and he stole it. He actually thefted it. It has been stolen from God's goodness and what God purely designed it, and God breathed it and God blessed it, okay? But because we found it too taboo to continue to discuss it in this house, it got taken out of the house of God. And it now goes into a world system where it gets tainted and corrupted and twisted. And so now we have a different job, because I can't say, well, we're here to stand against this, or we're here to fight against this like we did in the previous ones, right? Everything so far up to this point is we're fighting against the temptation of this idol. We're fighting against, you know, the things that the wicked man has put in this place to entice us to this idol and all that stuff. No, not the same here. That's not what we're trying to do here. Okay. We need to take back what the enemy stole. That's what our objective is going to be. Okay? So let's start talking about the specific idol of sex and what the wicked man has done to this specific area. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. That's the one. I'm going to go here, mainly because I just want to make sure. Not that I think it's totally different, but sometimes I don't know why the New King James on there is a little different. Verses 15 through 17. In my mind, it's titled, "Do Not Love the World." And I think it's so appropriate. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We have to see clearly there's a distinguishing line right from the door in this scripture. Right? There's the world and the things of the world, and the line in the sand that is separating us from that with the Father. Right? At the very end, it is those who desire or do the will of God will abide forever. But you have these other areas that are not of God. Right? And if you read them, you have two that are repetitive or seem repetitive. You have the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and then you have the pride of life, right? Well, I read that as lust, lust, pride. Is that okay? Can we go there? Lust, lust, pride. Does it matter if it's the lust of the eyes or the lust of the flesh? Does it? All three are not a good thing, right? God's not really happy with any of the above, so it's like if you did one, does it matter if you did all three? And we'll get there, right? Lust and pride are the culprits. Comes in two forms. Here we go. Lust, 1828 Webster's Dictionary. Here's where you guys are going to love these things. Lust is to desire eagerly, to long. Now, that's option one, right? Does that sound bad? To desire eagerly, to long for. I'm batting my eyelashes at you. Oh, but it is a slippery slope. That's why there's the other form, right? Which is to have carnal desire, to desire eagerly the gratification of carnal appetite. Which one of those two definitions do you think is the one that God's going, I don't really appreciate that one? The second one, right? Do you see how the enemy stole it? See how easily the enemy stole it? Because something that God designs for us to long for, the process of this is meant to bring us closer to God through this interaction, is now carnal. And it's to gratify a carnal appetite. It's to gratify ourselves. The enemy stole it, put it in the world, and the world makes it all about you. And no longer wants to recognize God. Right? World and God separate. So if the world doesn't give any credit to God, and you take something that God designed is uniquely built to draw two people together and to draw our eye to Him, and you take it out and you put it in the world system, it removes God, therefore now it's only about what I get out of it. Did the act change? No. It didn't change. Nothing changed, but just because you pull God out of it, the whole dynamic, the focus, the purpose changed. It's very important you understand that. The other one is pride. This one is interesting. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines pride as an inordinate self-esteem, an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often in contempt of others. Just take all of that in for just 1 second and think about this. Pride Month. The Gay Pride Parade. Are you seeing the correlation of what happened when you took this and threw God out of the mix? What has happened? The reality of these two degenerates have taken what God has made and converted it into what man has made. It's about what we did, what we have created. And think about all the times you've seen this broadcasted. It's all about what we have done. God has been completely excised from the equation when it comes to this field. Remember, this is a reality check. We slept. We fell asleep. We missed the mark. The church has stopped talking about this specific subject. I know since I was born, this was out of the church. That's almost 40 years. This has been not discussed. It is a taboo subject you don't talk about in church. Now, I don't know. There's some older people here that maybe have been in church longer than I have, but they can maybe date it back further than I could. Would you guys say that this has been before me? Yeah? Yeah? Before in the 70s maybe? Okay? That you couldn't talk about it. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know when the church stopped talking about it, but I do know for a fact that they did. It was no longer discussed. Okay? In your life? Right? Right. From a Christian perspective, sex is taboo. We don't talk about it. But then, here's the problem. Ready? If you don't do it, guess who will? The world will. And that's why the enemy just sat there and said, well, if you don't want it, I'll take it. I'll do good things with it. Don't worry. No, it's fine. No. But they'll love one another. Trust me. You trust them? Do you trust your education system to tell you all about the birds and the bees? No? Good. Trust mom and dad? Good. Good. Now you got a lot to live up to, my man. A whole lot more. That cause now, be aware, whatever happens in their future, it's cause of you two. That's all I'm gonna say there. Alright? Alright. This idol steals away easily, like I just showed you, from God, because in it we see God and ourselves. And so why did the world system go and all of the people go with it so easily? Because after all, it seems like, oh, well, I can connect to God through this. This is a way for me to get closer to God. It is. But the world didn't tell you the lying side of the ticket. We already took God out. So it leads people to believe, here's a way to go and meet God, but at the end, it's empty. No prize at the end of the road. It's like opening the Cracker Jack box and you ain't getting nothing. Like, it says there's a prize inside. Yeah, well, we stopped making those. You might find a dead rat in there. Maybe. If you're lucky. Okay? When we look and see God's word and we see the truth in God's word, we see that the reality of that is complete opposite. That what the world is espousing is a utter lie. Doesn't take much to find that, right? So why did the church stop talking about it? Why did the church stop speaking truth in this area? Here's an example. Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, everybody knows about Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Everybody here knows about Sodom and Gomorrah. What's Sodom and Gomorrah? Two cities that were destroyed because of sin, right? Of explicit sin, right? Right? This came about with the story of whom? Lot, right? Lot and his wife and his family lived in Zoar. Then they got closer and closer and closer because, after all, what did I say about the world and how they took it and they made it all feel like it's all gooey and lovey and all peace and love? You thought the 70s were good. You should have been around during Lot's time, right? Because, after all, that's what was alluring him. And then once he was inside the walls of the city, God's like, well, I've seen enough of God's people being taken and sucked up into this trash. Let's just nuke them. It wasn't really a nuke. But it was like a nuke. Could have been one. Right? But here's the interesting part about this scripture that I pulled. We're not going to talk about any of that. It's one scripture. Genesis 13, 10 through 13. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan. This is interesting. Pay attention. That it was well watered everywhere. And this was before the Lord had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself, again, Abram and Lot having a conversation. We can't stay together because we both have too much stuff and it's just, We need to split up. Okay. So he said, look, you can go east and I'll go west, or you can go west and I'll go east. It's fine. But he gave Lot the choice. He let Lot choose. Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. This is the part. This is in Genesis. This is not the account of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is before Lot even stepped foot there. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. It already was. How many people knew that it already was? It already was. Do you ever wonder how it got that way? How did it end up corrupted and wicked in that such depravity that God was going to wipe it from the existence of the planet? It's a pretty interesting thing. But if you can go back to the first part of that, though, I really appreciate it. How does this start? It starts with Lot viewing the plain of the Jordan and seeing all of God's bountiful blessings. The land was filled with water and nourishment and supply and God's wealth and goodness all there for the taking. Yet, these two cities did not appreciate the good and bountiful blessings of God that they had. They wanted what they wanted for themselves. That is what was the wickedness that was against the Lord. And here's the problem. Once you go down the rabbit hole, you start to find out how truly wicked you really are. And without any form of understanding that God is in this, and you have turned your back completely to God, which, by the way, just go and investigate what the names of these two cities mean. You'll find it not just humorous, but ironic at the same time. Literally, Gomorrah means crap. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. It literally means, it is the crap town. I'm not joking. Okay? And if you're not sure about Sodom, you can look that one up too, but just understand that from our pretext today, now we use Sodom to discuss things like sodomy and all that, because that is how deplorable and wicked this town was. Romans is where we're going to uncover this a little bit more. Romans 1, 18 through 26. I really want you guys to listen. I really want you to listen, because this is going to be the heaviest thing you're going to get today, but I also want you to process it, okay? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now remember, the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah was because of the who? Men. This was because of the men. Let's be clear. God looks to the who to lead. He doesn't look for the women. I'm sorry, don't take that as a sexist position, but God has put that responsibility on men. And so when the men turn their back on God and become wicked, the wrath of God is coming. Anybody want to argue with me? That's just the first line. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So let's be clear. It's not just that you're unrighteous and you're against all, you're an ungodly person and you're an unrighteous person. It's that you also have suppressed truth. Why is that the part that is the bigger one? Does anybody want to take a guess? What happens when you suppress truth? You're ignorant to the fact that you're ungodly. You're ignorant to the fact that you're in unrighteousness. Without truth, you have no gauge or metric to know how bad you have become. Moral compass gone. Let's take Sodom and Gomorrah with no moral compass and the garbage they picked up, and now let's take a look at the world and what it is doing today. Because let's be clear, the reason why the morality is gone from this world is because the church has stopped talking about this specific subject. Because they don't want to educate people in the area that God says, you're supposed to do this and be the moral righteous compass for God's creation and God's people on these matters. You have stopped doing it, and now the world says, well, we don't have that here. there is no moral compass in the world. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Remember what I said. It was right there in the plain of Jordan. They were there in the midst of all of God's goodness and greatness, and they could care less. They cared not at all about it. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. How do we clearly see them? I'm looking at them right now. You are all made in the image of God. You are beautiful in his eyes and in his sight. God has made you unique, an individual, an awesome person that is set to do great things in God. Do you see it? Or do you look away from it? I thank God every day for the building we have. Because God gave it to us. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We have no excuse. So that's just done. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is where it went downhill. Because they stopped acknowledging God. Go back to what I said about how easy it was for the world to just take this whole subject and go, I'm going over here with it. People are going to think they're going to find God. But no God here. And hearts become darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Look, I'll say it. If you are buying into the garbage that the world is selling, this bill of goods about how great you become and how great your life is fulfilled because of sex, I will quote this one person by saying, you fool! Because you are a fool. Not because I said so, but because God said so. But in reality, that is so foolish to think that your whole life is going to be fulfilled because of a intercourse relationship. That is everything. That's your world. It's all done now. If that's the case, the second you have sex, you might as well go on to glory. That's it. One and done. You're out. Have a good one. Hope you enjoyed every bit of it. Note, for a fact, it's not a long process. Let's get that one out of the line, right? Everybody here can truly, honestly admit that if you have ever been in any experience sexually, okay, you know that that's not a long thing. It's just not. So all of that short period of time, you're going to give it all up. That's the end. I would say you're a fool. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Here's the point. Remember what I said at the very beginning, that you've taken something that God has created and you made it about who? Man. You've made it man-focused. You made it man-centric. That now is, it's mine. Literally, you've made yourself the idol. Now, of course, this is also including other gods and deities and idols that were created from it that were in the images of birds and animals and bugs and whatever. First of all, the creepy things. Seriously, who was making idols of creepy things? Why were you making idols? Like, what possessed? Well, I mean, yeah, that's okay. That answered that question. But I mean, still, like, if you were in the position and you were making an idol of like some weird, creepy insect, and you wanted to put that in your house, like, why would you want that in your house? It's ugly. I don't get it. Therefore, God also gave them up. Now, let's be clear. To this point, God has been pleading with man, but when this part happened, when God was now eliminated and you made yourself God. That's what happens, right? Okay. An idol is taking the place of God. right? When man says, I don't need you, God. I'm God. I got everything now. I'm going to recall a certain angel of the Lord who was a worshiper, and he really believed that he should be the one sitting on the throne of God. That God really wasn't happy with that guy, and he gave him the good old boot out, right? And what was his name? Satan? Could it be Satan? So I don't know if I really want to be the guy who's going around going, I'm God. Get off my throne, God. I mean, if history serves it, it's not going to have a good end for me, right? Right. Okay. So if we know that, then we can maybe understand God's position in this next verses. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So God has stopped intervening. He let them have what they desired. That's what happens. When God does that, you no longer have truth to guide you. You no longer have God's helm of protection around you. You are no longer in the presence of God. You are far from him. And in that, you are also in very dangerous waters. Who exchanged, and this is the biggest line, highlight it, underline it, whatever you got to do. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. This is why this is important. You have made a covenant with lie. That is what you have done. You've taken truth and you made a covenant with lying and deception. And when you do that, you no longer worship God, you worship the creature. That's us at that point in this subject. And here's what happens. When you go this way, what you end up doing is unpacking all of the other stuff. So in this sense, when we're talking about this specific subject, right? If the persons of the world have went this way, they have basically uncorked and unbottled the sin martini. Okay? They have gone in and poured it all out and decided this is the best thing for my life. And what happens now is this. You get this litany of garbage that comes out of it. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Go ahead. No, there should have been more. I'm sorry. It's supposed to go to, I'm supposed to put 28. I put a 6 instead of an 8. That's my fault. Yeah. Whoops. That's my fault. Yeah, I mean, I can't just pick on the women. That would be wrong. That would be wrong. I don't want to just pick on the women. Pick on the guys too. Don't pick on your wife. That's not nice. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, 27, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. I mean, I'm actually just going to keep going. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same but also approve of those who practice them. Let's just bottle all that up. All that ugliness. And understand one major thing. And Ed said it already. Sin is sin. All that we have now is the menagerie of the sins that can now do what? Because what is sin designed to do? It will destroy you, but it's also attractive. It's titillating. It's seductive. It wants to lure you in, right? But I'm going to pick on just the ones that are at the top that deal with the subject of sex, right? Because when we're dealing with what God designed, and then you get this twisted up, corrupted form, you find that women who were originally designed for procreation and pleasure within the confines of the marriage bed become harlots, prostitutes, and fornicators. And I will say this. Sex out of marriage is fornication. And it is sin. It is not what God has intended. God's intention is within the confines of marriage. That's what God designed. That's what God's plan was. That's what God blesses. That's what God continues to support. Is it still there? Yeah, it's still there. But if the world continues to tell you, no, you don't need to do that. God's in your regular sex life anyway, so just why get married? Why be weighed down? Go have the variety. Taste the rainbow. This, however, now let's take into consideration, right? If you turn around and you participate in those endeavors, right? As a woman, we're talking about you ladies, right? Ladies, okay? If you participate in those endeavors as the world is trying to say, oh, but it's fine. Oh, it's good. It's all great. You'll feel wonderful. You'll feel fantastic. Every time you do it, it's going to feel better and better and greater and wonderful and wonderful. And then you find out that you're pregnant. Or do you have a disease? Or both? The fact that these actions will lead to these other issues should warn us, because these other issues literally bring death. Because when you're a fornicator or a prostitute or a harlot and you become pregnant, what do you think you do? You do. Because that's not going to continue to allow you to do what you just like to do. You can't do that while you're pregnant, can you? So you go and you literally murder an unborn child. It breeds literally death. Sin equals death. That's why Jesus died on the cross, so he could cancel the penalty of death for sin. But we cannot just go accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, go, well, all my debts are paid in sin, I'm going to go and get knocked up and have an abortion now. Because after all, it's paid for under the blood of Christ. I'm sorry, I really, really would not like to be you when you come face to face with the living God. Because all you have done is made a mockery of the cross. You have not understood what he has done. Now we're going to pick on the men. Ready, guys? Pull out them rainbow flags. Get those feather boas going. Let's go. Come on. Who's fabulous? You know it. Men left women to go to another man. Clearly, they did not get past health class and understand male and female anatomy. Look, electricians understand male and female anatomy. Just sit there with two male ends of a plug and continue to do this and see how good you get. See if you get power. Right? Is it going to work? No, it won't work. Right? Doesn't work. There are other things that have male and females. The microphones. Like, see? Microphone. Male, female. You do two males, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Okay? I don't need to go far to find out what God's design is, works. Just male, female. All right? But in the same way, when man and man, it leads to similar things, sexual disease, but it leads into all other types of pride. Because here's the difference. I feel bad for you women. I really do. Why? Because you get the bag of horribleness that comes with this, right? While the men seem to feel like they get away scot-free. But here's the worst news. It's doubly worse for every man. It's doubly worse. Because God has a higher expectation and call on your life. You're to lead and set the example, not go the other way. And when you go the other way, but it's sin and sin. So here's the thing. Whether you're a fornicator or you're homosexual, guess what? They're both sin. God's not happy with either. Doesn't matter what your involvement is. If you're a homosexual and a fornicator, it doesn't mean, oh man, he's doubly not happy with you. No, it's the same. He's not happy with it. Period. End of discussion. Okay? It is a reality. We have to accept it, but we have to know that we can't go into this categorizing one's so bad and the other one's okay. That's why we got where we are today. We didn't stand our grounds against homosexuality. We didn't stand our grounds against fornication. We didn't stand our grounds against anything that's illicit that goes against the standards of God. We allow people to burn in their lust rather than get married. Okay? I'm going to bring this up because I said I wouldn't bring it up yesterday, but I'll bring it up today. After listening to a podcast that I follow, my jaw literally hit the floor. Our youth and our nation is buying into lies so much that a man believes that he can breastfeed a baby. I will say this again. A actual man believes that he can breastfeed a newborn baby. And I know you're asking, what does this have to do with sex? The couple that has this gave birth to this child. And that child is innocent, but into their self-righteous denial of what God intended. God intends man and woman to procreate and create new life and to nourish that life. And the nourishment of that new life that was just given to this couple is immediately twisted upon this infant. That's horrifying. Horrifying to me. The perversion does not have a limit because it's based out of our lustful self-fulfillment. This will never be satisfied because the only thing that can satisfy it comes from God himself. The true crimes committed here are not the sinful acts, but rather the controlling belief that you know what's better for yourself. And if we don't do something soon, more people will be sacrificed to this beast. That is why this is utterly important. This specific subject has to be talked about. It has to be brought up. It has to be brought to the attentions. We have to train these kids. We have to tell them not just, oh, it's the birds and the bees and it's the uncomfortable conversation that I have to have with my kids when they hit the age of whatever. As I said yesterday in our kids thing, the world's dictating a tempo that you need to have that conversation when they're five. Do you want to have that conversation with your kids when they're five? No. You want to talk about what your parents talk to you about with your kids when they're five? Do you feel like you should be having that conversation with a five-year-old? No. Do you know that the world is? The world is. So what do? Do you go, well, I have to get ahead of them. Start telling them when they're three. Is that going to work? No. We have to do it through our own lifestyle. We have to do it through having our protections up against our kids. We have to protect them from the liar in the world, and we have to bring them up in the righteousness of God. Right? It's not hard to do, but we have to do it. So the battle for sex as God intended is the goal. Ephesians 5, 3 through 7, and this is wrapping us up here. Okay? But fornicators and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now I know what you're saying. How is this applied here? It sounds kind of negative, right? Does it sound negative? It's tough, right? See, but I don't see it as negative. I read that scripture and I'm empowered. Do you want to know why? Because I'm a saint. How many people in this house are saints? If you're a saint, put your hand up. You're a saint. No. I didn't mean it in that sense. In the sense of what God sees you. God sees you as a saint. You're one of his children, are you not? Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. Here's the thing. Can you go back to the first one there, Dill? But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. If I'm a saint, I should be thanking God, because if I'm actually a saint, these things will not even be named upon me. I am separated from that. Praise Jesus. He has redeemed my life from all of that filth and disgusting nature, that I am well in his eyes to be called a saint. If I am a saint and I know that I am, these things are not in my presence. Do we see why I'm saying it's a good thing? Because I know that I'm not on the other side of the fence. If I look at that and I go, oh man, oh, that's bad. Maybe that's because, oh, I'm doing stuff I shouldn't be doing. But if I look at that and I go, oh, I'm good. I'm empowered. I'm encouraged. Why? Because I'm not associated with that. Thank you, Lord. I'm encouraged. It's about who we are. And if that's the case, then we need to take this hard stance against these perversions of sex. How do we do this? We need to train our children properly. We need to train adults properly. That means if you have a sexual addiction, guess what? If you get saved and you get set free in Christ Jesus, you no longer have a sexual addiction. It's that simple. But you don't understand. No. You don't understand. You now represent God. And God does not tolerate that in his children. Are you going to draw a line in the sand? Are you going to say what needs to be said? Are you going to talk about the stuff that's hard to talk about? Because if you don't, guess what they're going to do? They're going to be a believer in Christ who goes and fornicates. And they're going to besmirch the name of Jesus. It needs to be clear, however, that it's not the act that is in question, but it's the heart motive that's behind it. Remember, we're not addressing the actual act of sex, because sex, again, in the confines of marriage, God is okay with it. So what should we be doing? Encouraging marriage, encouraging sex in marriage, encouraging that this is the way God blesses and produces good things in your life. When you do it his way, we have to do it. It's got to be done. But if we see that there's something wrong or skew, we don't go, oh, well, you can't go doing that. You can't go having sex with those loose women over there, blah, blah, blah. That's not the problem. The problem is their heart. The problem is they're trying to find fulfillment in something that they'll never find over there. They need to go to God. And they need more of him in their life to get their heart right, so that that product is no longer the source that they go to. How do we do this? We make sacred things sacred again. I'm not putting that on a red hat. I'm sorry. You get the joke? Yeah? Okay, good. We'll leave it there. Marriage is God ordained between one man and one woman, period. If you don't agree with that, we are not going to get along on this subject. Anybody want to argue with me there? Marriage, one man, one woman, no budging. It's sacred. And it's also not a bond that is easily broken. That means once you say, I do, you continue to do that with one woman. That's it. Do I make myself clear? Is that a hard thing to ask? I don't think so. I'll be honest with you. I love my wife. I don't want to try and make another woman happy. Not for nothing. I'm satisfied with just the one God gave me. I wouldn't want to add two to the mix. It is a testimony, however, of our faith and how God rewards and blesses that unity. Every time we continue to pour into that commitment that we have made before God, every day we remain faithful to that woman, it is a testimony of our faith in God. It's a testimony of how God is continuing to do these great things in our life. We become blessed and enriched because of it. Sex was designed by God. Again, sacred is sacred. Sex was designed by God in how he made us fit together. It is to be enjoyed in the confines of marriage. We understand this. It's sacred. It's what God intended. It's how God made you. It is unique to your characteristics and genetic code. He made you a male. You are a man. You have the appendages of a man. You are a woman. You have the appendages of a woman. You are meant to give birth. You are meant to nourish the child. That is what he created you to be. Do we have a problem with the fact that God made you this way? God, I hope not. Because if you are in the Lord and you have a problem with it, you have an identity problem. And you need more of God to reveal his true nature and identity in you. And lastly, sacred is sacred. Children are a blessing and a gift that we receive from this that reveals his greatest design, the ability that we have to create new life. Children are not your problem. Children are not an issue. Children are a blessing from God. We have to agree that these things are sacred and that we do not budge on them at all. Is that hard? Is that really hard for us to do? It's pretty straightforward, right? So here we go. We have to see things the way God sees them so that we can truly appreciate them as he does. Sex is one of these things. We should truly desire to have sex the way God intended, as it is the best version we will ever have. I can honestly agree with that. Anybody else want to give God the glory for that? Is it not the best? I'm not going to lie. I'm really going to stand here. Because why? I want to encourage the young minds here that they wait. Why? Because it will be the best version of it you will ever have. You will not have a better version of it until the day you are married. I guarantee it. I promise. If we start to think it could be better, we are stepping away from God's perfect design and looking at ourselves and falling into that self-worship. We must be on guard and we must always be watching because the world is not going to stop enticing. But we can steal this back. We can win it back to God if we do this. Amen? Amen? Amen. So Father, Lord, I pray God that your word continues to find fertile soil in our hearts. I pray God that when it comes to this matter, that Lord, we are disciplining not just our individual lives, not just our eyes, not just our flesh, God, and the desires of it, God. But Lord, we are submitting our hearts to you, God. We are understanding that what you have created, what you have made, God, this joining of man and woman is a sacred thing, God. It is something that you purposed to bless and bring us closer together, God, and for us to continue to create new life, God. And so, Father, we want you to continue to pour out your blessings upon those who are having these relationships the way you intended, the way you designed. And God, we know that you're already against everything that is contrary to that, God. But Lord, we want your people, God, to stand their ground, to not cave in, to not walk it back, to not circle back on it, God. But Lord, to stay true, to make what you believe is sacred in this, God, to be sacred in their lives as well. Let us draw those hard lines in the sand. Let us train our children. Let us train each other, God, on these subjects that we continue to be on point and continue to have these conversations as necessary, God, and that your church stand with what you have designed and you bless. In Jesus' mighty name, Amen. Amen. Amen.